Welcome to the Arlington Street Church podcast. Founded in 1729, Arlington Street continues today as a gathering place for progressive people of faith in the greater Boston area and beyond. We are located at the corner of Arlington and Boylston Streets, across from the Public Garden in Boston, Massachusetts. Please visit ascboston.org for more information about this historic Unitarian Universalist congregation. Arlington Street Church, gathered in love and service for justice and peace.
As you heard last Sunday, in less than 1 hour, this beloved spiritual community pledged $284,500 to Arlington Street's future. I was flooded with gratitude. The feeling has not left me. Thank you. The closing lines from American poet Gwendolyn Brooks' poem, Paul Robeson, came to mind then and have been with me ever since. She writes, "We are each other's harvest. We are each other's business. We are each other's magnitude and bond." During a vigil following the October 7th Hamas attack on Israel, my colleague Rabbi Michael Shire gave a remarkable homily. He recalled us to the biblical time after Adam and Eve were expelled from the Garden of Eden. Their sons are Cain, a farmer, and Abel, a shepherd. As the story goes, each of the boys makes an offering to the Lord. Cain brings fruit, and Abel sacrifices the firstborn of his flock. Alas, the God of Genesis is not a vegetarian. He rejects the fruit and favors the meat. And then, in a jealous rage, Cain kills Abel, the first murder in the Bible. The Lord then speaks to Cain and says, "Where is Abel, thy brother?" And Cain famously replies, "I know not. Am I my brother's keeper?" Rabbi Shire pointed out that God does not answer. Cain's question remains unanswered forever. Am I my brother's keeper? Without further elaboration, Rabbi Shire invited us to answer that question with our lives. We are each other's harvest. We are each other's business. We are each other's magnitude and bond. In a rare serious moment, American physician Patch Adams, who famously treats his young patients dressed as a clown, said, "We need each other deeper than anyone ever dares to admit, even to ourselves." Science tells us that human interaction is essential. We survived as a species by connecting with others. There's a growing body of evidence suggesting that our brains are shaped in continuous interaction with other people and actually function better when we're interacting with others and experiencing a sense of community. Our well-being, health, and longevity all rest on supportive relationships. We need each other. And actually, we need not just the people we love or who are easy to love, but those who are hard to love. American author and civil rights activist Maya Angelou writes, "Each one of us has lived through some devastation, some loneliness, some weather superstorm, or spiritual superstorm, When we look at each other, we must say, I understand. I understand how you feel because I have been there myself. We must support each other and empathize with each other because, she says, each of us is more alike than we are unalike. It is a spiritual practice to recognize and greet the spirit in every person we encounter. Try it. It will change your day. It might change your life. It could change the world. I've been thinking about this story. It was told to me as truth. I think it's myth, but either way, it's a good teaching tale. A great many years ago in the countryside of the United Kingdom, a poor farmer heard a child crying for help. He dropped his tools and ran toward the sound. In a nearby bog, a small, terrified child was mired to his waist in black muck. With great effort, the farmer managed to get him out, unharmed. The next day, a carriage pulled up at the farmer's house. A man got out and introduced himself as the owner of the neighboring farm and the father of the child whom the farmer had rescued from the bog. The farmer rescued the man, and the two men stood outside talking. When the man tried to give the farmer money as a kind of reward, the farmer refused to take compensation, saying that saving the life of the child had been its own reward. The farmer's son came out of the house and was introduced to the man, and the three of them spoke for some time. Then the man said to the farmer, I want to help your son. I want to make it possible for him to have the same education that I give my son. And at his urging, the farmer agreed to the proposal. And so the son was educated at the best schools in London and eventually graduated from St. Mary's Hospital Medical School. The son of the farmer, this much we know is true, was none other than Alexander Fleming, who grew up to become the Scottish physician and microbiologist who discovered penicillin. The man who had paid for his education was well pleased. And some years later, close to death from a respiratory illness that almost killed him, the man's life was saved by none other than Dr. Alexander Fleming. One more thing about that man. That was Lord Randolph Churchill. And his son, the boy saved from the bog by the farmer, Dr. Fleming's father, his son grew up to be the Prime Minister who led Britain to victory in the Second World War. Winston Churchill. We are each other's harvest. We are each other's business. We are each other's magnitude and bond. I love the profound richness of French Jesuit priest Pierre Teilhard de Chardin's insight that we are not human beings having a spiritual experience, we are spiritual beings having a human experience. I mean it when I ask you, why else are we here? If we're willing to really engage the question of our purpose, the answer is clearly that we were not put on earth to accumulate more wealth or have more stuff, to be happy at the expense of the earth, the water, the air, and other living beings, to have more power and kill the other guy to get it if we have to. Very possibly, we are here to matriculate in this soul school, and to wake up and celebrate the great gift of life, to make beauty and appreciate what is beautiful, to love and be loved. We know that healthy babies, healthy children need the four S's: to feel seen, safe, soothed, and secure. I will submit to you that healthy adults also need the four S's. And we can do that, be that for one another. It is never too late to be seen, safe, soothed, and secure. In 1960, the newly minted psychiatrist, Dr. Robert Coles, moved from Boston to New Orleans and witnessed six-year-old Ruby Bridges, protected by United States federal marshals, walking through a screaming mob to integrate a public school. Dr. Coles volunteered to support and counsel Ruby and her family, and wrote a series of articles for the Atlantic Monthly about Ruby and the other children who were the target of daily intimidation and death threats. These articles led to Dr. Coles' Pulitzer Prize-winning book, Children of Crisis: A Study of Courage and Fear. And that was just the beginning of his career. I'm a huge fan. This beautiful story comes from Dr. Robert Coles' early life. Those of us in the fourth grade awaiting next year's classroom assignment all dreaded getting Miss Avery for the fifth grade. You cross her and she'll come at you, we'd heard. Sure enough, I was assigned to room 5, where she reigned supreme, if not tyrannically. To this day, I see us all sitting in that classroom, headed by Bernicia Avery, a Vermont lady, heavyset with white hair and alert blue eyes that darted everywhere and sometimes concentrated mightily, unbelievedly, unrelievedly on the one of us who had gotten her ire up. To this day, I can hear the words that came my way one school morning: "Bobby, I've called your name twice." Lifting my eyes, I realized how closely I was being watched by my fellow students, who knew well the dramatic possibilities immediately ahead. "This is a school," she bellowed. "You are not at home alone reading a book on your own. You are here with others, and we all deserve your attention as much as that book, valuable as it is." Our eyes met, stayed fixed on one another for a second or two, and then my head lowered. I stared at the book, then at the floor beyond it. She had been sitting behind the big teacher's desk, but now she got herself up. Ominously, she had a ruler in her right hand, not the notorious blackboard pointer, thank God, but a 12-inch long ruler. Bang! That ruler went crashing on the desk of Sally Davis, sitting in the first seat, 4 or 5 ahead of mine. As Miss Avery made her walk, she spoke. "We are entitled to travel our own path, but here and now, we are walking together." I finally lifted my eyes to acknowledge the speaker. Suddenly, she waved the ruler briefly and then crashed on Doris Newman's desk. Then this terse finale, which 6 decades later holds fast to my awareness. "We should pay attention to others as well as to ourselves." A pause while we took in the admonition. We spend time looking at ourselves and looking out for ourselves, but please let us look to our right and our left, to our front and what's going on to our back. Please let us be mindful of others as we hope they will be of us. And then, to our considerable surprise, she was at the blackboard, not in pursuit of her famously feared pointer, but with chalk in her right hand. Word for word, she scratched out the message for us, now to notice hard and long. When she was through with the chalk, she asked us all to read aloud, in unison, those words: "We have to look out for other people as well as for ourselves." Back at home that afternoon, I told my mother of the instruction offered us, and there it was, now mine in my hand for my mom to contemplate. "If more people lived up to these words," she said, "the world would be a better place to live." Soon enough, we were on to other matters, but as I left to go play outdoors, I noticed my mother still looking at my scribble, and then her decision to pin it on the bulletin board she kept for herself in the pantry. She saw me seeing and said, "We have to look out for other people as well as for ourselves." She'd repeated what we heard in school, and her voice told her son that this maternal declaration was deeply felt and so ought to be kept in mind for the future days to follow in abundance. Beloved spiritual companions, let us seek to recognize and greet the Spirit in every person we encounter. We are all spiritual beings having a human experience. We have to look out for others as well as ourselves. You never know who you're pulling out of the bog or when you'll need the pulling. Am I my brother's keeper? We are invited to answer that question with our lives. We are each other's harvest. We are each other's business. We are each other's magnitude and bond. Amen. And now for our benediction, I invite you to put your hands over your heart and namaste. I bow to the divine in you. The words of Gwendolyn Brooks, you can say them with me now. We are each other's harvest. We are each other's business. We are each other's magnitude and bond. Let us keep this faith, beloveds, and pass it on. The service begins when the service ends. Bless your hearts. I love you. Amen.
People are
please visit ascboston.org for more information about this historic Unitarian Universalist congregation. Arlington Street Church, gathered in love and service for justice and peace.